For your grace, thank you for your love. God, I just thank you for your presence. Holy Spirit, we yield to you tonight. Thank you for the students that are here in Darrell, those that are watching by internet, those that are watching live and will watch the archive. Father, may your spirit be imparted in this place. Jesus, thank you so much for dying on the cross. Thank you so much for being our Savior, for being the one that would take on sins, take on defeat, so that we can be victorious and sinless. We give you all the glory, God, for what you're going to do tonight. Thank you for the other instructors. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would, turn with me to Genesis, the 15th chapter. We were in chapter 10. Last time we were together, I was with you in person. We was in chapter 10, and we're talking about the purpose of covenant. And I kind of spent the last time we were together on the first purpose of covenant, but now I'm going to move on to the second one, purpose of covenant. The second purpose of covenant is for an increase of promised blessing. Now, this is important. This is important because this particular purpose for covenant actually puts us in a position of Galatians 6 and 7. God is not mocked, for whatever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And so this is about positioning. And it's about positioning, and it's about being, all right? Not positioning and being. You have to be. Not just claim a position. You have to be the position. And I'm explaining what I mean in a moment. In Genesis, the 15th chapter, if you turn there, God did something to Abram that was very important. Now, you have to realize why a leader or an apostolic pastor, apostolic evangelist, somebody who, a believer who might not be carrying a particular office, but they are seasoned. They've been in apostolic a while. There's a reason why honor must be given to them. There's a reason, because there are things that they have gone through that when we connect to them, that we don't have to go through. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right. And so there's a reason that we must honor them, because if we don't honor them, then we are disqualifying ourselves from ever becoming. Mm-hmm. Is that making sense? Yes, see, it's one thing to be in a position. The position only entitles you to become. Yeah. I hope you're hearing it. The position places you, because see, positioning is I'm trying to find the right words there. Positioning only places you somewhere so that certain things can happen to you. Mm-hmm. See, all right. I am a member of an organization. That is a position. But that position entitles me to the benefits of that organization. But in order to benefit from the organization, I have to abide by the rules of the organization. See, I can't come into the organization, do what I want to do, and expect to become. Is that making sense? So in order for us to receive an increase, one of the purposes of covenant is that, Genesis, of course, what God told Abraham in Genesis, the 12th chapter, I will bless those that bless you and curse you that curse those that curse you until all the families of the earth be blessed. So God's intention was for every family of the earth to be blessed, because notice he didn't say, I will bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you until all the families of the earth be cursed. Right. His intention is for all families to be blessed, but it's up to us to become. God is going to give us the positioning, but it's our decision to become. Is that making sense? So in this 15th chapter of Genesis, the first verse, it says, this is why I talked about honor. Because God told Abraham something significant, and these first few words in this 15th chapter gives us when he told him. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Now here's what the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision and said, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Other words, I'm your protection. I'm whatever you need to be, and I'm going to be your provider. Uh-huh. All right. Now, notice God told him these things after some things had happened. Uh-huh. All right. So now we got to figure out what happened for God to speak these things to Abraham. So if you look, you go a little further to the 14th chapter, you see that Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek. All right. That was, now notice now, watch this. This is about Abram becoming. Because Abram gave tithes from his heart, not from a law. So Abraham wasn't just obeying a law, he was the law. Is that making sense? So it's a heart. You see, becoming is about the heart. This is why God always gives us, listen to me now, this is why God always gives us an assignment, gives us things to do, because it has to be of the heart. It's very hard to tell where somebody's located when they're not doing nothing. It's very hard to locate a person what they're thinking if they're not put in a position to react. A person can tell you they're your friend. A person can tell you that they look out for you, that they'll go to bat for you. Until they're put in a position to do that, you don't really know. You see? So this is why God gives us assignments. Because it's up to us to purpose in our heart. It's up to us for us to decide. So Abram, when he gave tithe to Melchizedek, he had to decide on his own. This was not a law. Matter of fact, it worked so well that Moses made it a law. See, we see what got God to move. And so because Moses noticed that, Moses said, okay, God, we're going to make this a law. And that's why tithing became a law. So now we go to Malachi 3:10. You know, to turn there, you shouldn't learn about tithing from Malachi 3:10. You shouldn't learn about tithing from Malachi 3:10, especially those of us who don't know anything about tithing, because Malachi, the third chapter, was written in a corrective tone. So therefore, those are people that knew the law, but they hadn't become the law. So therefore, it blocks the hand of God from increased blessings on the whole body. Is that making sense? So in this 15th chapter, watch this. In this 15th chapter, first verse, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Verse 2, this is important. And Abram said, Lord, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go what? Childless, and the steward of my house is Eleazar. Other words, God, you done gave me all of this. You said you're my shield and my exceeding great reward. Abraham grasped that, knew what that meant, and he said, God, look, what you gonna do seeing that I go childless? Watch this. Seeing that I do not have a son. Now watch this. Son, not necessarily, don't think about male figures. Think about offspring. Somebody that I can train to think like I think. He said, "What you going to let me, oh Lord God, are you going to let me give all this that you've given me? You're going to let me leave it to Eleazar?" Now what's the difference between a son and Eleazar? A son becomes, because it's in a son's DNA. Eleazar is no more than a servant. May be loyal, but still a servant. See, we get this thrown off in the flesh, because we follow this more in the flesh than we do in the spirit. Oh, we'll go down for blood. We'll go to jail for blood sometimes. My family did this. I know families right now. The person can be stone wrong. Mm-hmm. can be just wrong, just wrong. Just there's everybody know they're wrong, but the family gonna stick up for them. We get that so mixed up. We do that more in the flesh than we do in the spirit. Are you seeing this? So what my point is, Eliezer may be loyal, but once Abraham leaves off the scene, what is it guaranteed that he's going to maintain what Abraham was trying to accomplish? Kingdom. Is this making sense? So therefore, Abraham asks for a son. Watch this. Verse 3, and Abram said, behold to me, thou hast given no seed. And lo, one born in, listen, look at that now, born in my house is my, I ain't got nobody that's born in my house. I have nobody that's born in my house. Now, don't just, we seeing this with Abram physically, but think about this spiritually. I'm talking about you. You have to be born in the house that you're in. That means you must become as a child spiritually to be trained as to what's the purpose of this house. Is this making sense? That's how you become. Take on metamorphosis. You change. It's no longer about you, but it's about what God wants to do through you. So you become. So when you become, then increase blessings on the house you can take benefit of. See, I can always walk into a church and tell who is connected and who's not. I can always tell, because the ones that connected are walking around excited, happy, even if trouble is happening. Even if something is happening in the church, they walk around happy because they know wherever direction our apostolic leader go, that's the direction I'm going. So they don't get shook. You see, but I can tell when somebody in there who's not really connected because they're worried about their own hide. What's going to happen to me? How I feel about this? I don't really care how you feel about this, what the Spirit of God is saying. Are you seeing this? So you have to be born in the house. See, if you're not born in the house, you cannot become. That's what Nicodemus has so much problem with. Jesus said, you must be born again. Nicodemus said, I got to go in my mother's womb? Again, I don't understand. And all Jesus was simply saying is, you're going to have to relearn how to do life. That's all Jesus was saying. You got to relearn how to do life. Because how you've been taught how to do life is not all correct. So I'm going to teach you, because I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So I'm going to teach you so well that you can have enough life that you can share with others. You see? So you have to be born in the house. So if you're born in the house, you can become. See, it's important that you take on the DNA of the house. Take on the agenda of the house. Take on the purpose of the house. Take on the kingdom agenda of the house. Because then it opens the door for God to do everything for you that he wants to do. See, God already knows and has already provided for everything that you need, want, and desire. Right. He's already done it. Yes. That's Jeremiah 29:11. Yes. He's already done it. But there are only, some of those things cannot be unlocked until there is accountability in our lives. So therefore, that's why God connects us in covenant with people that can hold us accountable. Yeah. Because if we're not held accountable, then God will not, he's done it once. He will not unlock everything on us. Yeah. He done that once. Didn't quite work out. I knew two people had everything. And they had everything and still allowed the enemy to come and let them think there was more. Are you seeing this? So Adam and Eve had a chance to become, or watch this, not only become, but recognize who they were. But they wouldn't let
the DNA of the house, let them help them recognize. See, all your apostolic leader is doing is letting you realize who you really are. So helping you to realize who you really are, listen to me, that helping you to realize who you really are takes accountability, takes some sharpening, takes some roughening. You know, sometimes you're going to rub up against a rock, you know, but that's just going to sharpen you. Sometimes you might stub your toe, but that's all right. You're going to know not to walk that way no more. Are you seeing this? So becoming, or more, a better way to say it, discovering who you are. Discovering who you are. Discovering that you are not just a servant, but a son. Discovering that you're just not somebody who's born again, but you're a child of God. You're not somebody just going to heaven. You are an agent of change in this earth realm. Are you seeing this? Abraham asked for a son. That meant so much to God. Abraham thought it meant a lot to him. But it meant so much to God that God cut covenant based on that question. God cut covenant with Abraham based on Abraham. God wanted to assure Abraham so much that, look, you're going to get the, why? Because God realized that when Abraham's have somebody born in his house, that means Abraham, you got to realize, Abraham was the one who accepted God's invitation. So there was a certain mentality that Abram had. God wants that mentality perpetuated. He wants it duplicated. He wants it passed on. So he don't need somebody to walk in with their own Eleazar, with their own agenda. He needs somebody that is willing to be born in Abram's house. So that's why Isaac come into play. See, the reason why Ishmael couldn't be the one is because that was flesh begotten. That wasn't God. That was Sarah and Abraham coming together with an idea. So that God, that wasn't God. That was them coming up with a plan to get God's agenda to go forward. So that ain't gonna work. So it has to be a God thing. It has to be a God connection. It has to be a God development. It has to be see, this is why some people, you'll find some people that will come to your apostolic, that will come to your house, come to your church, come to, and they look like they fit. But just something ain't right. It's just, they just look like they fit. But just something ain't, just it just it's just something ain't right. Don't worry, because there are going to be some things that happen that shake them loose, and they'll fall to the wayside, because they were a Ishmael. That wasn't their house. It's somewhere else they're supposed to be. There's a place for everybody. You just got to find that place. And some people choose places based on what can benefit them, not what can benefit the house. So God thought this was so important for Abram to ask this question that God decided to cut covenant with Abraham and say, look, you're going to have a son. That's why Isaac came into play, because Abraham was able to take Isaac from a child and pour everything into him. So Isaac became, or like we said, a better way to say it, discovered his DNA and who he really was, which was able to carry on God's agenda. Are y'all seeing this? So in order for the increased promised blessings to happen and for it to be transferred, we have to decide that we're going to be born in that house. Other words, watch this. Whatever God has spoken to me before he told me to be connected, I have to put it on the back burner and let him fit it in. Wow. I have no doubts that in an apostolic house, there are going to be some church plants. There are going to be some expansion. They're going to be, because kingdom expands. Right. It's going to happen, but it has to happen a certain way. Yes. It can't happen in this old paradigm where a church is only born when we get disgruntled. Or a church is born because we feel we know more than the leader. Or a church is born because we just see, oh, there's a market over here where they ain't got no church. I need to go teach these people the word of God over here. You see what I'm saying? And so therefore, there's no becoming. There's no increased promise blessing. There is no, which we'll get to in a moment. There is no continuity of message. That leads me to number three. Third purpose for covenant is for the continuity of the message. Now, this is important because this will, watch this. I believe every one of us should get revelation knowledge. But there's a difference in revelation knowledge and apostolic structure. Every last revelation that you get, when you meditate the word of God and the scripture jumps out at you, the first place it has to be applied is where? In me. That's why you saw it. You needed to see it. Revelation knowledge is not the same thing as apostolic structure. See, Paul had apostolic structure. Why? Because Paul was an apostle. He was called a structured doctrine. So this is why we have all these. See, can I give you a little side journey on the continuity of message? What has to happen is the apostle Paul would establish churches around Asia and around the region. And what he would do, he would write letters to them. That's why we got the Bible, letters. He would write letters to them. And the apostolic leaders in those areas, in those churches, would read those letters and begin to expound based on what Paul was saying. See, one of the things I do, the gifts that I walk in is a teacher. So what happens is I very seldom have anything original. All the revelation that I get comes from what apostle is teaching. See, I don't know to go to study something until apostle brings it to my attention. So when he brings it to my attention, I'm going to study it, and then God begins to speak to me based on that. So therefore, you'll find that most of my messages are just offshoots of what he's been teaching. Are you seeing this? Because an apostle structures doctrine. So any revelation that I get, for me, I personally apply it to my life first. See, you have to see. That's one of the things as ministers we have to walk it before we preach it. See, watch this. One of the issues we have today in today's church is that we have a lot of people come out of revelations and trying to profit off the revelations. So the first thing we'll do is put it in a book. Then we'll put it in tape form, a CD form, or in today's day, MP3 form, and then we'll start marketing it. Well, first of all, let's find out if it's proven. Let's prove this first. Prove it first. You live it. You don't need to write no book on finances if you ain't got none. You don't need to write a book on healing if you always sick. You ain't gonna see me write no book on raising children. I'm still doing it. So I'm not gonna write no book on raising children. I'm still in the process of doing this. Are y'all seeing this? See, we as ministers, we have to first live what we preach. If it ain't working for you, don't preach it. Until you get it right for you. Are you seeing this? So what happens is we have these in this old paradigm, people come into all these revelations and mistaken them, think the revelation is going to change the body of Christ, when the revelation was really for them. You see that? To change them. And so when they change, God say, oh, I see somebody that I can trust that will apply what I'm saying. So now I can talk to them more. See, so there has to be a continuity of the message. One of the things we encourage in LTMA is that the pastors in LTMA listen to what Apostle Thompson is teaching. So when they listen to what he's teaching, You're going to get revelation based on what you're hearing. That's what you go back and teach
right.
who you lead. Because watch this. Watch how it makes sense. If you want the results that Apostle Thompson is getting, you want your people to grow as Apostle Thompson, the people he leading is growing, then you have to be able to break down what he's teaching to the people and let them hear the same thing. Continuity of the message. When there is no covenant, there will be no consistency in what is being said. When there is no consistency in what is being said, the people become confused. They don't know what to do. They don't know what to believe. Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
So if they don't know what to believe, they don't know what to do, then therefore the house is weakened because there's so many different ideas floating around.
Yeah.
So when there's so many different ideas floating around, that's how the enemy is able to creep back into the church.
Yes, sir.
Able to flow right back into the church because there's no continuity of message. Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
See, if there's no reason for me to preach nothing else besides what Apostle is teaching on, what Apostle is important, what he's ministering on. Why? Because there has to be a continuity of what is being said. There's no reason to be on these different tangents. You know, it's like a car going in two different directions. You can't. Either we go in this direction or we ain't going at all. Are you seeing this? So many times we find ourselves, don't take the spirit of what I'm about to say, not the legality of what I'm about to say. I don't really read too much other than what Apostle mentions. I mean, God is not the author of confusion, right? If God has something to say to me, he going to say it in the circumference that he put me in. See, if you notice in the Old Testament, God never used anybody on the outside to speak to the inside. When Jehoshaphat then was in trouble, the Bible said the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehazel, who was in the house. He didn't need to bring somebody out. See, that's why I don't like nobody. I ain't too kosher with somebody coming into an apostolic house and also start prophesying about what this house needs to do, what this house needs to go, what needs to happen. First of all, I don't know you.
Right.
What is your apostolic background? What who have you been listening to?
Right.
Who have been speaking into your life?
Right.
You see? So therefore, I don't there's not a knock on anybody else. It's not a knock on I'm not saying there's nobody else with revelation. I'm not saying there's nobody else that's hearing from God. I'm not saying that, but what they're hearing from God is not what I need to hear.
Yes, sir.
At the I hope I'm making sense. I'm not knocking nobody. I'm just, because a lot of times we go, especially watch this. This is what the enemy does. This is a trick of the enemy. We run up on a certain situation in our lives, a certain challenge. And so we go find all the material we can find and read dealing with that particular situation. So if we got issue with our marriage, what we do is we go try to find all the books on marriage that somebody else wrote. Instead of depending on the apostolic house that can speak, be Sunday morning teaching on healing, but all of a sudden say something on one sentence on marriage that can restore everything in my marriage. Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
See, the enemy is the author of confusion. See, watch this. Watch this. See, the spirit world is very, very ticking. You have to be careful. Whenever somebody is ministering to you, they're just not ministering words to you. They're imparting them to you. So now when they're importing them to you, you need to be aware of their background.
Yes. Yes.
Because they may be preaching a good word, but may be a hoe.
Wow.
They may be preaching a good word, but may be a drug addict.
Yes.
So this is why you can't just be listening haphazardly. You have to know a person's background. You have to know their track record. This is why you cannot come into covenant with anybody just haphazardly, just off the whim, just quickly, just because they sound good, just because they have charisma, just because they look good, just because they look like they got everything together. Because the Bible says we look on the outward.
Yes, sir.
On the outside, but God looks where? Now, if God is on the inside of me, that means I can look on the heart also.
Right.
Is this making sense?
Yes, sir.
So there has to be a continuity of the message. Not only should be a continuity of the message, but it should be a continuity of what I'm hearing. See, I don't need to be anything. If God placed me here,
what?
If God put me in this position,
yes, sir.
If he put me in this position, then this is what he want me to become.
Yes.
This is what he wants. Listen a minute. This is what he wants me to discover about myself. So if he want me to discover myself here, then why am I going everywhere else trying to find myself? I hope this is making sense. You see, so there has to be not only a continuity of what we're speaking, but a continuity of what we're hearing.
Wow.
Listen, we have to trust God. God will always bring to you what you need to have for your life through his apostolic house, because he wouldn't have ordained government. The Bible says in Isaiah 6 and 9 that the government, and I think it's Isaiah 9 and 6, the government shall be upon his shoulder. Right? So that means apostolic is on the shoulders of Jesus Christ and him crucified. So everything you need happened through the crucifixion. So therefore, if God placed me in this apostolic house, everything I need is going to come to this apostolic house.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Are you seeing this?
Right. Yes, sir.
We have to let our leaders know that we are around them because we want to push the agenda as they do. Continuity, we're saying the same thing. Watch this. We're believing the same thing.
Right.
Listen, let me tell you a little secret. Everything that your leader says, you won't believe it at first.
Right.
Sometimes you won't even be aware of it at first.
Right.
So that does it. Watch this. What you have to do is go back and meditate on it.
Yes, sir.
Go back and meditate on it. Apostle yesterday told us the message from yesterday he taught. He wants to listen to that seven times.
Yes. Seven times. Yep.
So it got to be something.
Right.
So, all right. So what, am I going to get all huffy and puffy because that's what he said? I mean, what is going to hurt me? Ain't gonna hurt me. I mean, I'm out with it. Ain't gonna hurt me if I listen that seven times. It doesn't take away from who I am in Christ, because my man of God said he want me to listen to it seven times. I mean, because I feel like this: if he say he listening to it seven times, he himself going to listen seven times. Who am I to say I ain't gonna listen to it seven times? Continuity. See, continuity brings strength. See, there's a meter when electrician is working on wiring a house. There's a meter that they can stick to the wire, and it tells them something called continuity. And what that simply means is make sure there's no breakage in the wire, meaning that in that copper line that there's no breakage, no disconnection, so that power can flow easily from one point A to point B. And so we have to have a continuity of what we're saying so that the power of God can flow consistently with no interruptions. Not only a continuity of what we're saying, but a continuity of what we're hearing.
That's right.
Just recently, this is another thing. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Talking about continuity of message. When your leader, because I just seen this happen, I've seen a mistake, and the person didn't have time to recover, God, and the enemy took them out just like this. When your leader mentions a book or mentions some material that he or she is reading,
right,
it's hint, hint, hint.
Yes,
read the material, digest it, but don't try to go ahead of them.
Right.
Don't think because they're reading behind this person that they're getting their revelation and their apostolic impartation from this person.
That's right.
Because what will happen is we with our ego say, okay, so now I don't have to get it through something. I can go to the horse's mouth for myself. And that's not the case. I know a lady who did that. And watch this. The Satan disconnected her from apostle. And 2 months later had brain tumors and died. See, let me take this side about connection, Apostolic connection. Remember now, apostolic connection, the purpose of covenant, is for to help you discover who you are.
Right?
Your DNA, you must be born in the house. So that means every attack that happens in your life, listen to me now, every attack that happens in your life is only Satan trying to distract you from you discovering who you are. See, Satan has no reason to come and attack you if you ain't doing nothing. The Bible says the thief coming not but to
steal, kill, and destroy.
You can't steal nothing.
Right.
You can't kill nothing.
Right.
You can't destroy nothing. So if Satan comes and attacks your life, there's something he's trying to either steal, kill, or to destroy. So watch this. Whenever God connects you to your leader, your apostolic leader, what happens is Satan sends attacks to try to get you distracted. So that you really can't discover who you are. So if you get distracted and you disconnect, watch what happened. You're no longer connected to the power or connected to the apostolic order that was going to help you fend off any attack that the enemy was trying to bring into your life. And so this particular lady got a hold of some information that Apostle Thompson was talking about. And then now she figured, this is where I'm supposed to be going. When watch this. See, the enemy is very, very cunning. He's not a worthy opponent. He's a cunning opponent. All right. He's not a formidable opponent. He's just a very Satan. People really fail to realize this. Satan came from where God is. So when God said, "Let us make man in our image," Satan knew what he was up against. So this is why he tries to attack, so he can distract you from becoming who God. Is this making sense? So he will use every trick he can to throw you off. So when a leader gives a note of a book or information that he or she is reading, that means for you to go read it only to be prepared for what they're going to say. One of the reasons why in college, I didn't catch this till my sophomore year, but most of the professors would always say, next class, we're going to be on this chapter. I want you to read this chapter before you come to class. And some people are like, oh, well, he's going to teach it anyway, so ain't no sense in me reading it. Ain't no sense in me doing it. I mean, he or she going to cover it anyway. But what you fail to realize is that when you get to class and the professor start lecturing, you lost. It takes you a while to catch on. By the time you catch on, it's almost the class almost over. It's too late. So now you playing catch up the whole time. But if you had taken the time to read the information to get familiar with what the chapter is talking about, you might not understand what the chapter is saying, but at least you know what it's talking about. And when you know what it's talking about, when somebody who comes in who's an expert on it can come in and begin to expound on it, it then becomes clear to you. See, people have I ever explained to you about the word understand, what it really means? Some people think understanding means clarity. I've never spoken that to y'all. Oh, you about to get help. A lot of people think understanding means clarity. Understanding brings clarity, but does not mean clarity. Look at how the word is built. Understand. Understand. That means, let's flip the word over, stand under. All that simply means is that you're taking your current thoughts and submitting it to some other thoughts. So when you submit it to some other thoughts, that means clarity comes. That's why the Bible says, all thy getting. Are you seeing this? See, there's no such thing as you can't understand something. Trigonometry. I can't understand trigonometry. Yeah. Yes, you can. All you have to do when you read trigonometry is you're going to submit your current thoughts to trigonometry.
Wow.
And you get clarity.
Yeah.
Now, on the other hand, there are some things I can't understand. Mm-hmm. I can't understand homosexuality.
I can't understand.
I'm not going to submit my thoughts
to that.
You see what I'm saying? I'm not going. Why? Simply because the word says it's wrong. Well, I'm not going to understand. I'm not going to yield my thoughts and let it think and let it overtake me. Are you seeing this? I don't understand Satan being powerful. I'm not submitting my thoughts to that. I'm not yielding my thoughts to that. So anything that you do not understand, you could use this in life. Anything that you read and you just say, man, I can't get this. You say, Holy Spirit, all I want you to do is help me yield my thoughts to this. Wow. Really, when you read the word of God and you meditating, that's what you're doing. Yeah. You're taking your current thoughts and you're yielding it to what the word says. And when you yield it to what the word says, that's when the Holy Spirit begin to speak to you more. Are you getting this? Talking about continuity of the message. So we cannot allow a whole bunch of outside information. Sometimes we'll read information and the information will help us to yield our thoughts to what our leader is saying. If that's the case, that's fine. That's fine. But ain't no sense coming and getting no off the wall revelation and trying to bring it to the house if the leader hadn't brought it into the house. Because watch this, that's not apostolic order. If God wants something in an apostolic house, you see what I'm saying? If God wants something in a house, see, we watched it very strongly in LTMA. Watch it very strongly. Listen, it's very, very clear. The interview process is very clear. And it's on purpose. Look, Apostle Thompson is the apostle in this house. Do you believe in his ministry? Do you believe God called him? Do you believe God did this for him? Do you, okay, if you have any problem with this, so when you come in, you already know when you ain't going to be no renegades here.
Right.
See, so this is the way it ought to be in your apostolic house with your leader. You know, you get somebody talking some foolishness, hold that revelation. I need to have what I'm hearing be connected to what my man or woman of God is saying. I don't need you coming with no revelation, off the wall revelation. I don't need you coming with your revelation. Wait a minute. No, I don't need your word. I don't need that word. Wait a minute. You know what? Based on what happened in your life last week, I believe that word was for you. Are you seeing this? Has to be content. Now, it ain't. Some of this stuff sound cultish, like it's a cult. But the thing, the reason why it's not an occult is because it's under the blood of Jesus.
Right.
Yeah. See, the apostolic is the freest place you'll ever be.
Yeah,
because the apostolic, the order of God, the government of God is the only place that makes it have a level playing field. That's the only government that allows a level playing field. In other words, there's nobody that can stop you from becoming who God wants you to become. I got seed. So every time I sow it, I get a harvest.
Yes,
I don't need to go apply. It ain't like this government. It ain't like the United States government. It ain't like the Mexican government. Well, we don't have enough jobs.
Right.
You know, we don't know. They go, unemployment going to probably go up this month or this year or whatever because we just don't have enough jobs. The economy is not that. In the kingdom of God, we don't have that problem.
Yeah, right.
Because we have a seed.
Yeah.
Are y'all seeing, yeah. You're seeing this? So a continuity of message. We have to be saying the same thing, believing the same thing. Now, not only believe in the same thing, but watch this. Three allows number two to happen. What number two was? What was it? Increase the promised blessing. So if we saying the same thing, believing the same thing, that means we ought to get the same results. Now, same results don't mean the same thing. Same results mean the same enjoyment out of being a part of the apostolic.
Yes, sir.
Let me close. Let me free you up with prosperity. Let me free you up right quick. Gentleman was telling me about, one of the pastors there to me was telling me about his Founder's Day. And he said, man, I've been sowing apostle. And man, this year, man, on my Founder's Day, man, they gave me $47,000. He said, now, that ain't what apostle be getting. I say, hold up. Let me ask you a question. He said, go ahead. I said, let me ask you this. Has this ever happened to you before? He was like, no, this ain't never happened to me before. I said, brother, that's prosperity.
Yes, sir.
See, don't be judging what you have to other people.
Right.
You can't be because you don't know what they like. One of the greatest lessons that I learned was when Apostle started buying cattle. One of the greatest lessons I learned, when we started buying cattle, I just got a BMW 750, all right? So I'm going to the stockyard, and I pull up my BMW 750. Not a nab person looked. Not a nab person looked at the car, acknowledged the car, nothing. So it was not that I was looking for, but I just like found it strange that, you know, nobody ain't looking, whatever. But the next week, I went in a Ford F-350, fully loaded. I got out the truck. Everybody started talking to me, and man, that's a nice truck. That's a nice. What was the issue? Well, they don't like that. They don't like the BMW. That ain't what they used to. That ain't what they want. They don't want that. They don't even pay attention to that. But you pull up in a Ford F-350 dually, that's what they like. That's what draws their attention. Look, get what makes you happy. Don't get what makes other people happy. Don't get what makes other people talk about you. Do when you go home, do you walk out and look at what you got and smile? If that's what happens, then you're walking in prosperity. Because that's what you want. That's what God gave you. Don't be worried about what other people say. Some people might not say, ooh, forget the oohs and ahs. Because the oohs and ahs will make you think you're not walking in prosperity. See, prosperity is relative. Prosperity is relative. Other words, what I mean by relative? Other words, there's no certain finance, there's no certain money level of prosperity. If what is happening to you now, what happening to you before you walking in prosperity? Is that making sense? See, so you talking about continuity, not getting thrown, not letting anybody throw you off, being consistent, not letting anybody from the outside affect what you do. Not anybody affect your seed, affect how you give, affect. I don't care. Man, I don't care. I compliment people when they get stuff. I compliment them. I want them to have it. Because them getting theirs don't, they ain't got mine. I mean, they don't have mine. I mean, they just don't have it. So I'm happy for you. I want you to get it. Because then now you get to look at other people. You don't know how they got it. They might have a 6,000 square foot house. But then you walk inside the house, it's hot as hell. Can't turn the air conditioning on. Can't pay the electric bill. But the house looks nice on the outside. And you up there talking about, Lord, why I can't get that 6,000 square foot house? I don't realize they're in there setting buckshots. Are y'all seeing this? It's continuity. Look, just being consistent. What you're hearing, what you're saying. I don't venture off. Don't venture off, don't venture off the reservation. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of times what will happen is Satan is very cunning. Satan will send you off on a rabbit, on a trail, looking for, you're going down every rabbit hole, going down, and your answer is, see, it's not hard to find answers. It's not hard to discover answers. It's not hard. God didn't make this hard. God didn't make this hard. God made this simple. Wherever God positions you, it's where you become. Wherever God placed you there for a reason. He placed you there so that you can discover who you are, so you can be born again, so that you can be born in the house, so that everything that God has planned for you, all the dreams that God has, everything that God has desired for you to have can happen to you. God is not the author of confusion. He's not going to place you somewhere and then put your answer. God is not going to place you in Baton Rouge and put your answer in New Orleans. That ain't fair.
Right.
The first thing God is just before he's anything else. So what? That's called trickery if he placed you in Baton Rouge and put your ass in New Orleans. That's called trickery. That ain't who God is. God is just. He's not a man of his life. He said it, he'll make it good. So therefore, wherever God has placed you, that's where your answer is going to be. All right? Continuity, having a consistency. I'm not letting all this other information filter in because I don't want to be, I don't want to be contaminated. Now, not contaminated like it's in a negative way, but I just don't want it affecting what I'm hearing. Are y'all hearing this? I see y'all next week.